This weekend, members of the West Virginia legislature will return to Charleston for their December interim meetings. Democrats and Republicans from the House and Senate will meet behind closed doors Sunday separately to choose the next Senate president and House speaker and the two chamber minority leaders, all influential posts. But with a Democratic governor and a Republican majority in both legislative chambers, there's one position that seems to control policy a little bit more than the others. What if I told you the next Senate president will be the most influential person in West Virginia politics? Would you agree?
I probably would take exception to that a little bit.
That's Republican Senator Mitch Carmichael. He has 16 years of legislative experience and in all likelihood will be the next Senate president. Carmichael, like most people, looks to the governor as the elected official with the most power in state government. Chair of West Virginia University's Political Science Department, Scott Critchlow, agrees. Most people do see it that way because, well,
it's easier to understand. You know, a governor, a president, that's one person. It's easy, you know, to recognize who that person is. It's very easy to see them as the embodiment because there's just the one of them.
And the governor does have a lot of power, like directing state agencies how to interpret the laws the legislature has written.
We can direct it from policy, but it gets the implementation of it is really at the, a lot of authority goes to the executive branch.
The legislature, however, has a lot of authority too. And the two people who sit at its helm, the House Speaker and Senate President, get to make a lot of decisions.
The Senate President directs all agendas.
That's Democratic Senator Mike Romano.
Decides what will be voted on and what will not be voted on, decides who will head every committee, also decides whether or not something even gets debated. So that's a tremendous amount of control when you can stop any piece of legislation that you choose to, or have any piece of legislation considered if you want it to be.
That list is also true of the House Speaker. But if you look back at the previous two legislative sessions since Republicans took control of both chambers, it's very clear that if a bill was going to be passed, that bill started in the Senate. Now, that could be because of personality. Former Senate President and Republican gubernatorial candidate Bill Cole was a strong leader who had firm stances on policy. Or it could be because of term length. Senators serve 4 years while delegates only serve for two. Therefore, senators are often thought to be more pragmatic. But Romano says it's also just the sheer numbers.
It's a lot easier to herd 34 senators than it is to herd 100 House of Delegate members.
So who has the power? Yes, there are checks and balances to make sure all three branches have their own authority. But when it comes to policy, when it comes to moving the state solidly in a single direction, who decides? Again, WVU Professor Critchlow says the people tend to look to the governor. But that initial theory that it's actually the Senate president isn't necessarily wrong.
When it comes to the legal position in the state, no, we're not nearly as powerful a state in terms of the governor position than a lot of others.
West Virginia's governor isn't as powerful as most other states because of one constitutional provision, the simple majority veto override. When lawmakers don't agree with a gubernatorial veto, they only have to get a majority of the votes in each chamber to override that decision and make a bill law. Republican lawmakers have exercised that power more than a few times over the past 2 years. They overrode vetoes to repeal the state's prevailing wage, make West Virginia a right-to-work state, allow people to carry concealed weapons without a permit, and prohibit certain types of abortions. And that was just in 2016. Romano calls the simple majority veto one of the biggest weaknesses he can see in the state's constitution. After all, for Congress to override a presidential veto, two-thirds of the members of both chambers must vote to do so, or a supermajority. But for Carmichael, votes to override vetoes seem less controversial. He says his party will welcome Democratic Governor-elect Jim Justice's ideas to move the state forward. But if the two branches disagree, the legislature will not back down.
We are going to do what's right for the people of West Virginia as we see it. And to the extent that one person in the executive branch doesn't agree with that, if the majority of the people's representatives do agree with that policy position, we will not hesitate to override gubernatorial vetoes and to make our will known.
This weekend, lawmakers will caucus in Charleston to unofficially choose the next leaders of each chamber. Carmichael is expected to become the next Senate president, and Speaker Tim Armstead will likely maintain his control of the House. The official votes for chamber leadership take place on the first day of the legislative session. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.